Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, it was a great Thanksgiving weekend, and certainly grateful. We had a great time. I have 11 grandkids, four kids, and so when we get together, there's 20 of us. And I find out as I get older, I'm just about as glad for them to go as when they come. You know, I'm worn out. But I know that we're very, very fortunate. All my kids are 15 to 20 minutes away, and that's very unusual in this world, in this culture we live in today. And I feel and certainly empathize with so many of you. And I know God's blessed us in such a great way. It reminded me of a story I wanted to share with you this morning about this whole thing. There was a man in Phoenix who called his son in New York just the day before Thanksgiving. And he said, "I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screamed into the phone. And he says, "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the father said. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Well, frantic, the son immediately called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "Like heck they're getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." So she called Phoenix immediately and screamed at her father, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" And she hung up. The old man hung up his phone, and he turned to his wife. "Okay," he said, "they're coming for Thanksgiving, and they're paying their own way." So maybe that's something you ought to try, okay? Well, you know, we ought to really be expressing gratitude every day. Being thankful, I think, is a vital part of our lives and of our attitudes. And many of our prayers, however, so often get into the form of requests, asking God for things rather than thanking him for what he's done. We're so often so focused on our troubles and on our own needs, we sometimes take for granted all the blessings that he's already richly provided. So I'm reminded to give thanks, and I think God reminds us. One of the offerings that God wanted from Israel was the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He wanted them to acknowledge that he was the one true God, and he was the source of everything that they had. The sacrifices of thanksgiving we offer today are not animal sacrifices like the Israelites gave, but they're still very, very vital and important and powerful. How can we give sacrifices of thanksgiving to God today? Well, one way is verbal. We can verbalize our thanks. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." Colossians 3:16, Margie read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." So as we verbalize our thanks, one great way, one effective way to do it is by singing. Singing. Nothing makes you more aware of God's presence faster than praising God in song. Psalm 147:7 says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And God tells us to make a joyful noise to God everywhere. Whether you're doing the laundry, you're paying bills, and maybe you really need to sing to God then, but to pay bills, you're riding in the car, you're shopping, whatever, you're in the shower, whatever you do, you can sing to the Lord anywhere and everywhere. Sing our thanksgiving to Him. You say, well, I'm not much of a singer. Well, God didn't say you had to be a great singer. He just said be a joyful singer. It's like the one guy said, I can't. He said, I'm kind of like a prison singer. He said, I'm behind a few bars and never have the right key. And you know, a lot of people are like that. And maybe your voice is like mine. It should be cultivated, plowed under. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, God doesn't tell us to have this great musical ability. He just says, sing. Praise Him. Recognize what He's done, how good He is. He is worthy of your praise, our praise, and praising Him. There's something that somehow God has wired us in such a way that when we begin to praise Him, take our focus off of our own selves and begin to praise Him, there's something that lifts up our spirits. No matter what kind of our situation is, He lifts our spirits when we praise Him. But there's another way that we can verbalize our praise, and that's by telling others. He says in Isaiah 12:4, in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations or the peoples what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the greatest news in the world because everyone needs Jesus. If you don't tell your story, we've all had a journey. We all have a story to tell. And if you don't tell the story that God has given you through Jesus Christ, who will? Who's capable of telling your story but you? And if we don't tell our story, if we don't give that testimony, what Jesus has done for us, the world is at a loss. People that we can impact, people that God brings into our sphere of influence, they never hear. They are at a loss because we do not tell them the story that God has given us. So I encourage you this week, be proactive. Look for somebody that you can share your faith with as a way of thanking God. Tell people what God has done for you. Tell people how He's changed your life. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the people what He has done. And proclaim that His name is exalted. You see, the power of thanksgiving is amazing. I recall the story. You might remember it in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were out telling their story. They were witnessing, praising God, preaching, proclaiming the word, and they rose up against them and beat them because of some miracles that they had performed, and they flogged them and beat them and ultimately threw them in prison. So here they were in the dark, dank prison, and I'm thinking how perhaps I would respond. The natural thing to do would be to begin licking our wounds and complaining and criticizing, thinking, I'm not going to do that again. You know, we're wanting to quit, wanting to give up. And at midnight, they did just the opposite. At midnight, the Bible tells us that they began to sing praises to God. They began thanking God. And so God's response to that was He sent an earthquake angel, and He shook the ground where that prison was to the point where the doors flung open. And the prison keeper, the guard, looked around, thought everybody had left, and he was just about to kill himself because he would have gotten executed by the king. Just about to kill himself when Paul says, jailer, do yourself no harm. We're still here. And this man was so shaken, so impacted, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he says, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And so Paul then had the opportunity, preached the word to him, preached the word to his household. They all got saved and baptized that night. You see, there's power in thanksgiving. Prison doors unlock when we praise and thank God. What's your prison this morning that you might be in? Is it an unresolved conflict that's kept you bound from doing what God wants you to do? Is there an emotional prison that you're housed in? Maybe finances? Maybe you're in a prison of guilt and you've done some things and you just can't get over that, and you just are filled with guilt. Maybe it's a relational prison that you're in. You've got some problems with relationships. Maybe it's worry, anxiety, perhaps discouragement, disappointment. But whatever it is, it's got you locked up and you can't get out and you can't be free to be what God wants you to be. But I tell you, there is great freedom, great power when you verbalize your thanks to God. There's another way, though, that we can give sacrifices of thanksgiving, and that's with grateful attitudes and actions. Really, by giving. That's what we're talking about here today. It's what we're doing today as we think of the future. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So whatever we do, even the little things in life, everything we do should be done with the motive of thanking and glorifying God. Giving an offering is a way to thank God. He says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, bring your offerings to the storehouse, to the Lord. Deuteronomy 16:10, Old Testament, God told the Israelites then, giving a freewill offering, they were supposed to give a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings that God had given them. So as we recognize the blessings that God's given us, we return some of that back to him with our gifts, with our offerings, as a way of praising and honoring and glorifying God. I found out that the level of my giving shows the level of my gratitude. And I'm not talking about dollars. A lot of people who can give more money, perhaps. But I'm talking about as I look at myself, what I have, and as I look at God and I give back to him, the level of my giving shows the level of my gratitude. Maybe that's why thanks and giving go together. Thanksgiving. My thanks motivates me to give to God. And my level of giving perhaps is monitored or controlled by my level of thanks to God. Now we're in this annual stewardship emphasis. You've been praying. We've been talking about stewardship the last few weeks. Lordship of Christ, really. It's about God's rule in our lives and giving everything to him and him owning everything. But today's Dedication Sunday, and it's a great weekend as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And the whole concept of this weekend helps us hopefully develop a giving habit. Three things I just want to say about that as you think about this. Many of you have made perhaps your cards out. Maybe you haven't yet. Maybe you're still considering, still wondering. But I know this, that some things I do every year when I give to God for the next year. First of all, I review my commitment. And that's always a good thing. What have I been giving to God? So I review my commitment. And what statement is my giving making about me to God? What statement? What am I saying to God about my giving at my level of giving? And there's some questions we can ask. First question is this: have I been giving this past year based on reason or revelation? Am I doing it by my own logic or by what God has told me? Am I just giving what I think I can afford to give, or am I giving what I know God wants me to give? Which is different. Second question is my giving this past year stretching my faith? Or am I doing that which I can afford and that I can allow? Third question, has my giving showed my hope of eternal reward or my interest in material things? Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So what does it reflect? Fourthly, has my giving showed how much I really love Christ and his church family? What does my giving tell me about my love for the church? and about my love for Jesus? 5, has my giving represented a genuine sacrifice? Was my giving this year really a sacrifice? Was I really willing to sacrifice for my Savior after all he's done for me? And 6, does the amount I'm giving truly express the level of thanksgiving that I have for my life, my family, my church, and my salvation? So review your commitment. What have you been doing, and what does it say about you and your Lord? 2, renew your commitment. I would hope that nobody would say, well, I'm going to take a year off, not give anything. I would hope that we renew our commitment to the Lord, keep on going forward, keep on moving forward for the Lord. And then 3, what I like to do is outdo your commitment. I always like to look at it and try to increase my giving, even if it's only a little bit, to increase my giving because I want to grow in giving. I want to grow in faith. And I grow in faith when I give by faith. And so those are some things that hopefully we consider or do consider. If you haven't given yet, you can think about these things and maybe think about them throughout this year as you give your pledge or even increase. But that's another way that I can show God, we can show God, that we're so thankful and grateful to him for what he's done. Then a 3rd way is acceptable service. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So we serve him with gladness. Sometimes it gets tiring because we have busy times and it gets difficult sometimes. But God never wants us to serve him out of obligation. He doesn't want us to resent our service for him. He wants us always to be glad. And it should never be a chore, but a privilege to serve. That's why we so often have to distinguish our service between church or ministry and God, the Lord Jesus. Everything ought to flow out of a love for him, and we ultimately serve him and worship him with everything we do. But it's done through the vehicle of the church, you see. My motive to use my talents and my gifts to serve God and others should be gratitude for giving us everything. No matter how we express our gratitude to the Lord, we can be certain that it's true, that it's good to give him thanks. When we're grateful, no matter what our circumstances are, we glorify God, but we also reap some benefits. Let me give you very, very quickly 4 benefits that we receive when we are thankful to God. First of all, thanksgiving refocuses our attention on him. Verse 2, he's called the Most High God. He tells us to declare God's love in the morning, declare God's faithfulness at night. So if we can get in the habit of that, in the morning, when we begin our mornings with praise and thanksgiving, and not all the burdens of the day, but when we begin with praise and thanksgiving to God, our focus shifts from the present and all the burdens and all the problems of the coming day to the Lord and his goodness and his love. We'll become more aware of our dependence upon him and more appreciative of his care and his provision and his protection and his guidance throughout the day if we start our day declaring how good he is. And in the evening, as we remember his faithfulness to us again, our gratitude will overflow. Don't be controlled by your circumstances. Don't be controlled about all the events swirling around. But instead of crawling into bed with our burdens, thanksgiving produces God's peace of mind so we can sleep soundly. 2, thanksgiving releases us from anxiety. This is a fast-paced culture filled with pressures and expectations and stress and conflicts. When we're consumed by worry and fear and anxiety, we rarely feel grateful. Pressures so often can steal our gratitude, steal our joy. We're filled with worries and stress. But the solution for anxiety, God gives it to us. It's prayer accompanied by thanksgiving. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious, he says. Do not be anxious. He says, don't worry. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, or transcends all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we thank God, when gratitude flows up to him, and we pray to him and we thank him, then God again does something. The power of the Spirit of God comes, and he sends his angels. He sends his power to guard our hearts and not let us cave in to the worries and the stresses and the problems and the burdens and the difficulties of this world. Peace of God guards our hearts. Thirdly, thanksgiving reinforces our faith. We remember, we look back at his faithfulness, and our confidence grows in him. You look back, you're worried about things, and then you think back about all the things he has done time after time after time after time. He has blessed you, rescued you, delivered you, just done great things for you. That again renews and grows your confidence. Listen to what he says in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to his revealed will, according to biblical principles, he hears us. When we come to him, that's why I emphasize the word of God so much in prayers, because God says when we come to him in accordance with biblically revealed truth, he gives us a hearing. He'll sit and listen to us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the requests that we desired of him. So when we come to him, according to biblical principles, we pray to him according to biblical principles, we know without a shadow of a doubt those prayers are going to be answered. And that brings us to the last thing. Thanksgiving refreshes our relationship with him. Ingratitude always dulls our spiritual perception, but thanksgiving opens our eyes to gain new insights into God's character, into his ways and desires, as we read and reread that Psalm 92, powerful, talking to us about how God responds to us. He even talks about that person that serves him and is right with him. He says he or she will be blessed in old age. They'll be fruitful in their old age. So when we give him praise, instead of just asking him to do something for us, our relationship with him deepens and matures. We'll delight in honoring him for who he is and not just for what he's done or will do for us. So after a time of praise, after a time of thanksgiving, we come away refreshed with a renewed perspective, rejoicing in the goodness of our Lord. So let us this morning again consider what we're doing here as we dedicate our pledges. And I'd like you to take out the litany out of your bulletin, the litany for the dedication of church pledges. We're going to do this together. You'll work with me on this. Let me read this first paragraph, kind of just get a setting for what we're going to do. We dedicate our pledges to God. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's God that gives you power to get wealth. You shall not appear before the Lord empty. Everyone shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which God has given to you. For if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. Each one must do as he or she has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let me lead you, and you respond as we go through this litany dedicating our church pledges. In grateful recognition of God, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and who has richly blessed us with health and strength of body and mind to do our daily tasks, for worship of God the Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, to keep alive our faith in the one triune God, for the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the administering of His holy sacraments, and the exposition of the Word of God in edifying the body of Christ, for the maintenance of the ordained ministry of the church, the service of sacred music, the care of the sanctuary, the promotion of Christian fellowship and the life of the Spirit, for the support of the church and its program of Christian nurture and the religious training of children and youth in the ways of righteousness and truth, for the ministry of comfort to all who sorrow, forgiveness to all who sin, guidance to all who stray, and salvation to all who are lost. For the service of bearing the gospel message to others through the appointed agencies of the church and its world service program of missions, benevolences, education, and evangelism, as the expression of our Christian stewardship in honoring God with our substance and the consecration of our personalities and possessions to His service. Let us pray. O God, out of our own sense of gratitude, we dedicate these gifts. Accept them as the supreme response of our thanksgiving, as a symbol of our willingness and desire to give of ourselves, as our recognition that we are most like You when we are giving ourselves, that in sharing with and serving our brothers and sisters, we are truly serving You. Grant Your blessing on these gifts, that they may truly transmit Your message of unity, justice, peace, and love through Christ our Lord. Amen.